Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, here as always with my co-host, the effervescent, wonderfully haired co-host.
I got all this hair
Donna Lee.
Under my headphones, our old school headphones.
I can't wait till we have your hairstylist on this show.
We're gonna. He's super cute.
He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. His abs are amazing.
I'm a urologist, a board-certified urologist. This is a men's health show. This show is brought to you by the urology practice, started in 2007. This is our 15th year, Donna.
What?
I know.
You're so old.
I'm mid-career now, they say.
Really?
Yes.
Is it mid?
Mid-career.
Oh, felt like you were ending it soon the other day. I gotta quit.
Somebody's gonna kill me. NAU urology specialist. We have four offices all throughout Austin. We have four physicians. We have four mid-levels. We have two physical therapists. We have a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. We're just like really here to take care of all of you.
We're all over the place.
Yes.
We have one me.
One me.
And one you.
One me too. Well, you know, sometimes we have guests on this show.
We do. We have awesome guests.
We have awesome guests.
Especially in Austin, Texas.
And I wear glasses. Did you know that?
I did know that, actually, every day.
Yeah. Well,
you can't see me otherwise.
I cannot see. It makes everything a lot better, actually, sometimes when you can't see anything. But in surgery, throughout my entire life, I've worn glasses. And so we are very, very fortunate to have Dr. Shannon Wong here with us today. Hey, Shannon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. I'm sure you've seen his commercials on TV because I see them every morning.
They're really nice.
On K-View.
Mm-hmm. Shannon, you're with Austin Eye. Who started Austin Eye?
My dad, in 1969.
1969?
Wow.
Well, he beat us by a little bit.
Yeah, a couple years.
And so, going to the eye doctor today is a different experience for me than it was when I first started wearing glasses when I was in junior high. Maybe you could talk a little bit about kind of what's the importance of getting your eyes examined and what can you expect when you go to either an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, and maybe even what the difference is between the two.
The eye exam done by an optometrist and an ophthalmologist are probably very similar. They're going to refract you and determine your eyeglass prescription. They're going to assess the overall health of the eye. They'll use some diagnostic devices, computers, to image the various facets of your eye. And then they'll go over your overall health of your eye and then prescribe glasses if you need them, or contacts. If you're being seen by an ophthalmologist, they may actually go over surgical treatment options to more permanently correct your vision. And the eye exam is focused differently based on the age. So if you have a younger person, you're kind of mainly just looking at glasses or the need for glasses or the lack thereof. When you're in your 40s, we all enjoy this aging process called presbyopia. You lose your ability to refocus from far to near, so you might need reading glasses or bifocals. So there's a discussion centered around that. And then when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, the conversation kind of veers into age-related eye conditions, cataracts, glaucoma, things like that.
So when it comes to eye conditions like cataracts, let's say. So my father has cataracts. He's having cataract surgery. Are cataracts just kind of something that's going to happen to everyone as we get older?
Gray hair, wrinkles, and cataracts. Everybody gets them.
Oh, good times.
Oh, my Lord. I think it's time just
to
end
old.
It. We'll just all end at 50
then.
And so cataracts cause what? Like, how do I know if I have a cataract?
By the age of 40, when we evaluate your eye through a microscope and look directly at the lens inside of your eye, we all have a cornea, which is the front cover of the eye, and we have a lens, which is just behind the colored part of the eye, known as the iris. That lens is clear when you're younger, and inevitably it gets cloudier and cloudier. So pretty much everybody by age 40 is starting to show some slight clouding of the lens, and it only becomes more pronounced as they age.
And so it's the lens that gets the cataract.
Correct.
And then what is cataract surgery?
It's where we remove the natural lens at various times of a person's life, and we replace that aging lens with a lens implant that's a man-made implant, and that implant gives the person the ability to see better than they could with their natural lens.
So cataracts are an aging-related issue. Losing your vision from far to near, the focus difference, is something that can happen with age. Is glaucoma also something that we can expect naturally with age?
No. I would say about 5 to 10% of the population over their lifetime will develop glaucoma, but we screen for it because it is a potentially irreversibly blinding eye condition. So we always screen people for it.
So even though it's relatively a minority of the population, making sure that you don't have glaucoma so you don't lose your eyesight, will you have a change in your eyesight when you have glaucoma, or is it like you just have it and then one day you're blind?
When I was a resident in when I was a medical student in ophthalmology, a resident was describing glaucoma as you've jumped off of a skyscraper and you feel fine until you hit the bottom. That's kind of what glaucoma does. You don't feel anything. Your vision seems okay until the right at the very end. It's a condition. Glaucoma is a condition where the eye pressure is too high. It causes damage to the nerve that connects your eye with your brain. And that nerve can withstand progressive damage over years. But once it reaches a critical point where it's damaged enough, then you begin to have significant decreases in vision. And by that time, it's next to impossible to reverse that vision loss.
And most of the time we use medicines or eye drops that just decrease that eye pressure. Is there a surgery also that's done?
Correct. Yes. Some you can have eye drops to treat it, and that's usually the most common way to treat glaucoma if a person has it. But we also use a certain laser treatment to also help normalize and control the elevated eye pressure. So actually somebody coming in for treatment of, or if they're newly diagnosed with glaucoma, they have a choice. You can have a laser treatment or you can start drops to control your eye pressure.
It's really a very important point that you're making, because I emphasize on the show all the time that sometimes the expertise of your doctor or your surgeon really defines how you're going to get something treated. So, you know, if you're going to an optometrist to manage your glaucoma who doesn't do laser surgery but does do eye drops, that may be the only thing you're ever offered. And if you go to an eye surgeon who doesn't do lens replacement to improve your vision, you're not going to get that as an option for you. So it's really a goal of this show to really kind of make sure that patients out there, or potential patients, know that there's more than one way to skin the cat when it comes to dealing with different problems. You know, for us, it's going to be problems between the nipples and the knees.
Mm-hmm. Are there any dirty eye jokes?
That's why I couldn't become an ophthalmologist, you see.
Because there's no dirty.
Because after eyeballs.
That's it.
Like, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure Dr. Wong has one in his pocket, I would think.
I don't know.
He seems pretty relaxed, I'm sure.
Yeah, he seems pretty relaxed. So what do you do nowadays to fix somebody's vision so they don't have to wear glasses? Because I think that when aliens come to this planet one day and see people like me wearing glasses, they'll be like, what is this backwards?
Like, hey, four
what are
eyes.
They doing? Why don't mm-hmm. they just fix the problem? So LASIK, I think, is the more commonly known surgery. Could you just talk briefly about what is LASIK? What is, am I saying it right? Is it LASIKs?
LASIK.
LASIK is what you give.
Okay.
LASIK is what I give.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. He put you in your place.
I guess.
Take that.
LASIK, it helps you with that area that you treat.
The
yes.
ED?
LASIKs. I think that's how I know this guy's not a real doctor. I don't prescribe medicines.
Oh, you don't?
No. I'm a surgeon, baby. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's weird. So so when somebody has poor vision, and LASIK, the what does it stand for?
Laser-assisted in-situ keratomelusis.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we call it LASIK.
And so when...
thank God.
And so it's been around for... What, 20?
1991. Started in 1991.
And so maybe you could go through the process of what happens to the person when they get that done.
And talk about for people like me who are scared for people to touch their eyeballs.
Right. First of all, it's painless. And as long as we screen you properly and deem that you're a good candidate, it is generally very, very, very safe. So it's surgery to the front window of the eye, which is known as the cornea. The cornea is about the thickness of a credit card. It's about the diameter of a dime. And we reshape the cornea to help make that individual focus normally. And it enables them to see normally for their age. So the best window of time for somebody to have LASIK is pretty much between the age of 18 to 40 to 45. After the age of 45, presbyopia, the age-related process of the lens sets in. And so if we make somebody see normally and they're over the age of 45, they're also going to need reading glasses, even though they've finally got their vision corrected with LASIK. So after the age of 45, we generally move to another structure in the eye, the lens, and we replace the lens to optimize their vision because the lens implant will make them see younger, give them more stable vision over time, and they won't need cataracts.
What is the difference between surgery, one of these high volume pop up LASIK centers and something else? You know, we talk about that a lot in our on the show about you know, like there are people who treat eye problems, and then there are people who just do LASIK.
Right.
So there are people who treat ED like us, and then those that just do shockwave therapy. And there's a difference between what you're getting. So maybe you could just speak to the quality that people can expect when it comes to a LASIK provider.
Uh-oh, I see thought bubbles popping up over Dr. Wong's head.
Well,
he knows
I don't work in a LASIK-only practice. And historically, so LASIK-only practices emerged pretty much around the year 2000, and a lot of them were chains, and they would do high volume, and the surgeons were incentivized to do high volume LASIK surgery, and there was quite a bit of marketing involved, and price cutting emerged as a part of that business model. A lot of those centers eventually filed for bankruptcy. So LASIK-only practices are not as common. They still exist. I think there is at least one in the Austin area. To my knowledge, it has a fine reputation. So they do exist. But if it's they say, if you are a, what's that saying? If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've used that analogy before.
We really do.
Yeah. So they
nailed it.
Really, they're marketing to the younger crowd, the younger being 18 to 40, 45 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Anything beyond that, probably. I mean, you can have LASIK. So it's public knowledge. But I think that, you know, you see some celebrities getting LASIK and they're older. And I'm just thinking, why don't you have lens replacement? Because now you're going to see like a normal-sided, mature person, and you're going to need reading glasses. And so after 45, 50, I think lens replacement's better because we make them see younger.
So if you're older, the problem is if your goal is to get out of glasses, then maybe a LASIK operation wouldn't work for you necessarily because you're still going to have to wear reading glasses.
It would work. It would make you see normal for your age.
Understood.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because it didn't occur to me that it would be really that younger crowd of potential patients that would really benefit the most from LASIK. Technological advancements would you say have occurred recently with LASIK, or is it the same thing since 1991?
It's smaller improvements. So now it's all laser generally procedure. It used to be we would make the initial step with a mechanical blade, followed subsequently by application of a laser. Now it's a laser flap, a laser treatment that's more custom to the very minute optical imperfections of each individual's eye. So the outcomes are generally very accurate. And I think we've gotten better at screening people. And I don't think it's because the chains are largely gone. There's I think, a better screening process going on.
How long does it take to do each eye?
For both eyes, it's generally about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes.
And you'll do both eyes at the same time?
For most people.
And how long of a healing time afterwards?
We'll tell them that your eyes are going to sting for about 3 hours. And then you'll feel fine. And so most people can go to work the next day.
And how much can people expect to pay for just a standard LASIK if they don't have anything else going on with them?
I'll just tell you, we charge about $2,500 per eye. I'm sure you can find it for less, and you can probably find it for more. So,
well,
but if you want the best.
Yeah, but if you want the best.
You come here.
In the last few years, I've been amazed to learn that we can now fix eyesight with surgery. That's beyond LASIK. And we've talked about LASIK, which is that, what does it stand for again?
Laser-assisted in situ keratomelusis.
That's hard.
I don't think
that's a lot of syllables.
I think he's making up a word. I don't remember the M in the LASIK.
I thought there was an X involved. There's no X.
God.
It's just a K.
Mm-mm.
So we're not going to talk about that. What I want to talk about is lens replacement. And did this kind of, when people grow older, cataracts are something that they get, and that's a cloudiness of the lens, right?
Correct.
And then, so for years, you've done surgery where you open up the eyeball somehow, and then you got that lens and you replace it. Did you just replace it with like a clear piece of plastic back then?
It's a man-made lens implant that's custom sized to bring that individual into focus with their new lens.
And so, why don't you tell me, what is lens replacement for eyesight?
Lens replacement is for, and I'm referring to elective lens replacement, is for the person who doesn't yet, quote, need cataract surgery or have visually significant cataracts, but they're, let's say, wearing bifocals in their 50s, or they're wearing reading glasses in their 40s, and they hate the fact that they can't refocus their eyes unless they wear bifocals or reading glasses. So we do lens replacement, which is basically identical to cataract surgery, but we do it on a younger demographic. And we use lens implants that give a dynamic range of focus. So those individuals receiving these, we call them premium lenses, can see far, mid, and near, largely with minimal to no use of glasses at all. So they see younger indefinitely.
If I was, if I were to say to you that this is like putting a contact lens into your eye permanently, how would I be right and how would I be wrong if I was trying to explain that to somebody?
Good question. That was good. I'm impressed.
You would be basically
wrong.
Right. Oh. Basically right. Yes. He went to Baylor College of Medicine.
See
that's
what
right.
I'm saying? That's right.
Y'all are so smart.
We don't have the word wrong.
Smarties.
So, but the natural lens in your eye does degrade over a lifetime. So it starts clear, it gets bigger, it gets less flexible. So it gets stiffer.
Mm-hmm.
There's your urology
we
and
do
an
like
analogy.
That.
There it is.
And it gets cloudier as you age. So as you age, the lens doesn't work as well. And so eventually we do, the lens implants outperform our natural lenses.
So this is not for everybody. Who is it not for?
Somebody who has an unrealistic expectation of being able to see perfectly at all distances with zero side effects and to see like they're in their 20s all over again. It does not deliver on that high bar. It makes a person see like they're basically a normal 40 to 42 year old.
Now, a lot of times as we get older, we have trouble seeing like during dusk and dawn when there's low light conditions, or we're worried about, especially when we're driving. I've noticed that getting harder for me as I get older. What role does a lens replacement have in that those kinds of age related changes that we can expect to our vision?
Well, if your lens is starting to gradually opacify and it's not allowing as much light to pass through it, then your vision at night will not be as good, and that's when you'll notice changes when you're driving at night. Maybe get some glare from the oncoming headlights causing diffraction as the light passes through the optical imperfections in your natural lens, which are cataract changes. So then we remove that natural lens and replace it with a lens implant, which is more optically normal, and you see better at night.
So you had a lens replacement.
I did.
Oh.
And
did you do your own?
Like Dr. Odette, my partner,
that's
did,
right.
did my surgery.
You cannot
2017.
Do your own.
You did your own vasectomy.
I did not do my own vasectomy. That is a terrible. That is a terrible
that.
Rumor.
I've heard you talk about that.
I had to show him my left vas deferens.
How to do it? No.
It's okay, but it is generally considered very, very poor form to do your own vasectomy as a urologist. Mm. Just so you know.
Just like doing your own eyeballs.
Although we all have a story of some guy who tried to do his own.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I don't.
We need to give
anyway.
Dr. Odette more credit. So he took care of your eyeballs. You do not take care of your own.
So, you know, I think of these things. I had a friend who was a plastic surgeon when I was in residency, and he went and got LASIK. And back then, this is almost 20 years ago, I was like, aren't you afraid that you're going to lose your vision? It's going to ruin your career. You know, this is what we're... And he said, listen, you can't be a surgeon if you don't believe in other surgeons. And I was like, okay, you're right.
So he did not go to Baylor, that guy.
He did.
He did.
He's a brilliant, brilliant plastic surgeon.
There you go.
What prompted you to get a lens replacement? Because that gives other people confidence to know that, I mean, you believe in it. So, you know, that's why you did it.
It's a process for everybody. You eventually can't see up close. You can't read labels on your food. You can't read your phone. You can't read your watch. You can't see people's faces close to you. You can't look at photographs on your phone without putting on reading glasses. So it's, you lose your near, which is a visual power that you have in your youth. And, you get increasingly frustrated. You have to blow up the font on your phone. Mm-hmm. You have to buy a larger phone.
That's me.
Yeah. And then you have to eventually carry reading glasses with you. They're on your person all the time. And then when we're doing surgery, we're testing vision where we're helping people see. The patients were seeing better than I was, and so I said, "Yeah, this is kind of ridiculous.
That's a sign.
Maybe I should practice what I preach."
Right.
And so yeah, you reach a breaking point where you can't see something like it. For me, it's a whole bunch of little things. Like, couldn't read a receipt. I couldn't figure out the tip on on my bill because I can't read it. So I was essentially seeing like an old person that stereotypical blue-haired lady at Luby's, I would see like that person. Mm. And so I...
Don't look at me.
I finally got tired of it, and I said, let's do this.
That's what I need to do. I have 27 pairs of readers in my house.
So is it the case that most people need both eyes done?
Sometimes you can just have one eye done, and then that's all you need.
And if you get that done, you'll never have to worry about cataracts, right?
Correct.
Oh.
Which is kind of a cool thing.
That is cool.
So what's your target age that you think people should start considering a lens replacement?
Pretty much 45 and up.
Okay. I think you're just talking to me because I'm 46, and you earlier said that I'm too old for LASIK and I can only get a lens replacement.
He is talking to you.
God.
He's like, hey, old man.
He's such a good salesperson.
He's been in practice for 15 years.
So
you
jealous.
Need to preserve your eyesight.
I'm jealous of him. How much can people expect to pay if they're getting a lens replacement with or without a cataract?
If they're having elective lens replacement, it will vary practice to practice, but it's usually several thousand dollars per eye.
Okay.
And then if you have a cataract, you can switch out your bad lens with one that can make you see better, right?
If you have a visually significant cataract and you have insurance, then usually the surgeon can, or the patient's costs will be less because they can use their insurance for a portion of the procedure and they'll pay a lesser amount than they would if they had completely elective lens replacement surgery.
Well, I can't thank you enough to impart this knowledge on us. I mean, for me personally, learning that there's a surgical way to fix vision is really something that is something new to me, really. You know, I feel like if there was a surgery to fix high blood pressure, we would all, you know, we would lose that medicine. We have surgeries for BPH. We have surgery for diabetes. You know, there often is a way to eliminate the use of medicines and other prosthetics to help us feel better. So thank you so much for giving us that information.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Wong. And if you want to reach out to him, email us at armormenshealth@gmail.com or you can call us during the week, 512-238-0762.